Well, who'd have thought it back in early 2020 when we heard the news stories from distant parts of the globe about populations becoming ill? News stories, of course, worthy of our interest, along with other considerations like what's happening with Brexit now that we've actually Brexited? Or locally, what are the council doing about those potholes outside of the school gates? Even at that point, it was not particularly obvious to most of us in the UK that this strange-sounding disease that no one could actually quite tell us what it was called, coronavirus or COVID-19, and what did the 19 stand for, that had something to do with goings-on in China, would, in its time, hit us like a tsunami. And when it did and we were caught up in the turmoil, we couldn't think further ahead than a few weeks, because the present was difficult to understand, let alone where we were all going with it. So, to reintroduce the starting point to this, who'd have thought that coming towards the end of 2020, we would be back in lockdown or severe restrictions? The pandemic is all around. COVID-19 has settled into the landscape. It's all rather grim, and the future's still looking very uncertain.
VN Radio Podcast with Dom Chambers.
Hello, by the way, and welcome to the In Radio Podcast. Now, I'll be absolutely frank. When I first did an In Radio Podcast themed on COVID-19 local radio response, I wasn't really planning on doing more than two, because I thought the third episode would be how did we respond and how's the future of local radio looking now? Well, the future of local radio is indeed a hot topic, and we will come to that very soon here on the In Radio Podcast. For now, though, we need to continue to look at how local radio is responding to COVID-19. In October 2020, we had Local Radio Day. We'd shifted Local Radio Day to that end of the year from its original date in May, as we thought it might give us an opportunity of getting physically back out into our communities with outside broadcasts and all that, what have you. This, of course, proved not to be the case, but that actually made Local Radio Day even more important to mark, as it was the opportunity to see how our communities and those heroes and individuals in the communities were making a very substantial difference to events and our ability as communities to deal with them. Well, local radio clearly had a huge part to play in that. And this podcast will focus on that with a bit of an emphasis on what happened on Local Radio Day on the 12th of October. Lots going on, lots of stories to tell. Here are the voices today helping me weave the narrative thread.
What a great day it was. 17 hours of live broadcasting, a lot of contributions from all our presenters over that period, and plenty of fresh content.
I would argue that we've certainly played a vital role, more so than ever perhaps, in the lives of our local listeners over the last few months.
And I think for many, the sound of a presenter with a local voice on their local radio station can make them feel less lonely.
Throughout of this pandemic, we have been more influential, more informative, asking the right questions, helping people than we've ever been.
We found that there was a group of people who don't have a telly or may have dementia and not really focus on telly, but without a radio.
There's been a lot of effort and dedication, and I think, you know, the United Kingdom should be proud of its local radio in this period.
The voice of David Lloyd ending that montage of tremendous articulations. Other voices in there and coming up on the programme today: Danny Lawrence, Maxine Stride, Mark Carter and Andrew Dixon. Local Radio Day is organised by the Local Radio Alliance, and if you're not aware, I started that organisation and am one of the organisers, which sent me on a kind of COVID-safe tour over the summer to promote it. Well, let's find out a little bit more about what happened and the thought process behind the day. And rather than just have me talking about it, I thought we'd go to one of the directors of the Local Radio Alliance, Maxine Stride, who was key in bringing it all together. I began our conversation by asking Maxine, what was the principal driver behind this year's day?
The theme for 2020 Local Radio Day was communities making waves, turning the tide on isolation. Something we felt was a very important theme given today's kind of current climate and situation.
Let's explore that a little bit further then. How does this theme reflect on the extraordinary times that we're living through with the pandemic?
Well, I think the pandemic has really highlighted the need to unite during isolation. I think there's a lot of lonely people. We're all trying to keep our distance. And I think that that's really kind of heightened the sense of isolation. And therefore, we thought we'd choose our theme to really highlight how well local communities across the UK are coming together despite the distance between us.
And what role does local radio have to play in that?
I think local radio has a very important role to play in it. It's a medium that facilitates that happening. People can call into the radio station. They can use it as a discussion point. They can use radio stations to find out what's going on in their area if they're kind of too vulnerable to leave the house. And I think for many, the sound of a presenter with a local voice on their local radio station can make them feel less lonely.
And how many radio stations joined in with Local Radio Day this year?
So it's fantastic. This has been our best year so far. Over 150 radio stations participated in their various local communities. And that included all 39 BBC local radio stations. And I have to say the most exciting thing is that we trended on Twitter in the UK, which is no mean feat. I think we were sixth. At one point, we were actually more popular than hashtag lockdown.
And actually, that was on a day when the Prime Minister was making announcements from the dispatch box, wasn't he?
Exactly. So I think to be trending at all, let alone sixth, was pretty impressive.
So do you read into this that there's an increased appetite for local radio caused by the national crisis that we've been through during 2020?
Oh, definitely. I think local radio has a very unique part to play. And I think there are reports out there that local radio is being more listened to than ever before. And I mean, lots of radio stations actually participated in the BBC's Pledge to Talk. So that's an initiative where stations encourage their listeners to pledge to talk to someone they haven't spoken to in a while or that might need extra support during hard times. And I think it's initiatives like that on local radio that have helped people feel less isolated. And actually, in one case, it solved a bit of a family drama.
Any other stories that you'd like to highlight from this year's Local Radio Day?
Well, it's difficult because with over 150 stations, there were so many fantastic stories. But one specific example that I loved was over at Susie Radio. They took their outside broadcast trailer and braved the weather and set up on the premises of one of their sponsors. And there they interviewed the leader of their borough council and also a member of parliament about the part the radio has to play in turning the tide on isolation. And to kind of supplement that, they had special programming within the studio with shout outs, texts and emails received from listeners. And they had voicemails that they played out. And I think having that sort of array of local voices just really made everyone feel like they were coming together on that day.
Maxine Stride from the Local Radio Alliance there, and it's fantastic to have a top-notch marketing professional on the team. And I should say that Local Radio Day this year was supported by key stakeholders in local radio in the UK, which apart from the Local Radio Alliance is BBC Local Radio, the Community Media Association, and of course, the Radio Academy. Let's dwell now on BBC Local Radio, and Maxine touched on this in her contribution there. So let's find out a little bit more about that Pledge to Talk, and it's over to BBC Radio Sussex and Surrey's Mark Carter. A natural point of starting our conversation was to find out how Local Radio Day went for him.
Oh, Local Radio Day was tremendous this year, and we've supported Local Radio Day since its concept a few years ago at Sussex and Surrey, but this year it went out across the BBC Local Radio Network, and that, first of all, was great to have the buy-in from all of the local radio stations, everyone coming together, and we had a particular theme that local radio was looking at this year with our Pledge to Talk. And it was a very simple idea, but at a time where communities are really struggling, where people are feeling lonely and isolated, this was an opportunity to kind of turn the tide on that a little bit. And we had some amazing stories throughout the day of people getting in touch with maybe loved ones they hadn't spoken to for some time, checking in on the next door neighbour, just even maybe talking to somebody in the supermarket as they queued up for the goods in the supermarket. It was just a really lovely day in these really strange times that we're living in at the moment. It was just a lovely day for people to come together. And I guess for me, that's what local radio is all about, really being at the heart of the local community.
So this is where you were inviting your listeners to make a pledge to call somebody that they hadn't necessarily spoken to for a while, or it might just make some positive impact on both the people involved lives. And that's what it was about, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, clearly the buy-in from the teams at our stations and the stations around the country was key to this. So, you know, here at Sussex and Surrey, the presenters all had their moment of contacting somebody and sharing that story, that experience with the listener, and then the listener doing the same thing. So, I don't know, if you take a fun example from Radio Surrey, James Cannon caught up with Tony Blackburn, and James and Tony go back a long way. They used to work together at Capital. But again, it's one of those things, you know what it's like. You work at different radio stations, and then perhaps at best you might see somebody pop up on Facebook every now and again, but you can easily lose contact. And it's great, you know, when you catch up with somebody you haven't spoken to for a while and you share the old times, but also what you're up to now. So we had an example like that, which was great fun. We also had another example, though, from BBC Tees, where the presenter there, Gary Phillipson, had a conversation with his friend discussing their respective mental health challenges. So some of these conversations were quite big moments as well. And I think that was great to get the presenter buy-in.
Was all of this on air, or was some of it, you know, just pledging to talk to somebody and maybe calling away from the public eye?
Yeah, we didn't want to say you've got to do this and record the moment and then play it out. If it's a private moment, that's absolutely fine. I think the key thing for me was the buy-in from the radio stations and then from the presenters and the on-air teams, that they wanted to do it, they wanted to support. And actually, in most cases, there wasn't a problem in recording those conversations and having those conversations played out encouraged others to do the same. And so you had these amazing knock-on stories as well from these, you know, listeners. Again, some of the really light-hearted stuff through to some quite serious, you know, big moments. For example, we know that at the moment it's really difficult for the students who are starting out their life at university in a year like no other. And so we had an example, it was over at Cambridge, where a student was feeling really isolated. It was their first term at university. And then the team at Radio Cambridge put that person in touch with their best friend, and they brought a smile back to their face. And so just simple things like that, really.
Local Radio Day this year, Mark, was very much reflecting what is happening in our communities over the course of the pandemic, and also local radio's role reflecting those individuals, those heroes, if you like, and those organisations that have really stepped up to the mark to help out their fellow people in what is, of course, a national crisis situation. What do you think this tells us about where local radio is in the UK at the moment?
I mean, speaking for Sussex and Surrey, we're now into year 10 of what we now call our Make a Difference Heroes Awards. And we've taken in nominations for that over the last few weeks. And now we're at the stage of contacting the finalists and telling them the special news that they're in their final category for each of those, I don't know, 10 categories that we've got this year. And if you just look through some of those stories, they are absolutely incredible. A lot of people who've responded directly to the coronavirus crisis, those, though, who've kept organisations going that in the past we'd almost taken for granted, so volunteers, good neighbours and fundraisers. And I think here at BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey, we can be part of that conversation. We can raise awareness, as we have done over the last few months, of the help and support that's there in the local area. And, you know, let's be fair, with the exception of community radio stations, there aren't many local radio stations left to do that. So I would argue that we've certainly played a vital role, more so than ever, perhaps, in the lives of our local listeners over the last few months. And in the early days, it was literally somebody ringing in, for example, saying, we can't get out to do the shopping. And then we could put somebody in touch. And then as the networks around the towns and villages grew, it was a case of almost being the database and helping facilitate. When somebody got in touch, hey, I need help, I need support. Right, this is the person or the organization that you can go to. You had an amazing story of a sad story of a guy who worked for the NHS who had his bike stolen. And we told this story on air. Within literally a few minutes, we had a replacement bike for that listener. And I think that's pretty unique. I'm not sure there are many places that could do that. And so I think this year, it's been such a tough year, such a difficult time for so many people. But hopefully, we've managed to make it that little bit easier, either through the support or just keeping the community together. And I think, you know, communities have been great at responding to this. And hopefully we've kind of been at the centre of that, helping to bring those communities even closer together.
In Radio Conversations with Dom Chambers.
Local radio, like much of the broadcasting industry, is a very shifting landscape at the moment. You touched on community radio in your patch of Sussex and Surrey. How do you see the BBC local radio and community radio, perhaps working together in greater collaboration in the future? How do you see that relationship?
Well, we've certainly had here a relationship with a number of community radio stations already, and we're really keen to see that grow. And it's a two-way street. So if we take something that we do in most years, our Give a Gift appeal, which raises money for children in need at the start of the new year, we work with, for example, Uckfield FM or with Susie Radio, and they act as collection points in their local community for the unwanted Christmas gift. So they're helping us actually in that respect. At the same time, we are helping various radio stations, community radio stations, with the provision of local news and local information. So if there's a guest on from the Alton area, it might be that Wave Valley Radio will then take the news clip and be able to use it on their programmes. So I think, as I say, it's very much a two-way process. I get that a community station will really, really hone in very close on its doorstep, and they will probably know that little bit of Sussex, Surrey or North East Hampshire better than we do. And so we can work with them to share that local knowledge, to share the understanding of the community issues. And as I say, at the same time, you know, already in the past, I've run sessions for community radio stations around law, great programming and so on. And hopefully they can then benefit from the experience that I and other people like me bring.
Well, Mark, great talking to you today. There was all 39 BBC local radio stations were involved in Local Radio Day this year. And just from the top of my head, I think it was over 125 community radio stations participating as well. And those are just the ones that are registered. I have a feeling there were more participating on social and so forth. So that's a great collaboration in itself. And I very much look forward to working with you again for Local Radio Day 2021, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, and all credit to you, Dom, and the rest of the team there for pulling it all together and making it work so brilliantly. And as you say, hopefully next year it'll be a little bit more like normal. But either way, we'll be doing this again next year, and I can't wait.
Mark Carter talking to me from BBC Radio Sussex and Surrey there. Always a pleasure talking to Mark and working with him on Local Radio Day. Another great voice in radio it's always a pleasure to talk to is David Lloyd. Now, David and I, along with Chris Burns from BBC Local Radio, were asked to make a presentation at the recent Radio Academy Festival on the future of local radio. And my next In Radio podcast will be dedicated to that theme. David, of course, was number one on my list of people I wanted to talk to about that, and I've recorded a great conversation with him, which we'll hear a lot more from in that future podcast. But whilst we were talking, I did ask him about how local radio seemed to him in the context of the pandemic.
There's some great examples of local radio stations in all sectors doing some incredible things in terms of, you know, telling a story, getting some response. And that's where local radio is doing great things. And I'm also part of the Audio Content Fund. And government kindly gave just getting over £500,000 to make programming especially for COVID. And a lot of this was sprinkled on a number of radio stations, but there's some local initiatives too. I mean, you know, the virtual strawberry fair in East Anglia and things like that, you know, alongside offerings about domestic abuse and all the serious topics that have been discussed as part of those offerings. So I think in various ways, can I say local radio's had a good pandemic? It would be tasteless to say so, but yeah, there are some real success stories. When people who really understand radio have been taking advantage of the benefits, the beauty of this medium. We know of other radio stations that haven't quite hit the mark, and we know ones that, you know, quite didn't manage to stay on air when we all know it's generally possible to stay on air technically. But in the main, I think everybody in radio has done so well in Britain and across the world as well. You know, there's a feeling that radio has done pretty well. Habits have changed, consumption habits have changed, but radio itself has done pretty well. And local radio, I think, has really excelled itself. And, you know, a lot of people have been working on their own in their, you know, back bedrooms and whatever, and trying to stay motivated and focused and generating high quality material. And as far as the journalists are concerned, you know, they've been out there with their poles and microphones, putting themselves at a slightly statistically enhanced reach. So there's been a lot of effort and dedication, and I think, you know, the United Kingdom should be proud of its local radio in this period.
A fine sentiment from David there, and one I'm sure many people will agree with. How local radio impacts on audiences and communities is our theme today. But for now, I want to take our story into the realm of impact beyond the broadcast offer. This is about actually getting out into the community with a great idea and doing something that makes a difference. At which point, it's time to zoom in on what Danny Lawrence has been up to in Essex and beyond. Danny is a director of Gateway 97.8 in Basildon. He also runs a networking group called the Radio Hub. And at the time I recorded this conversation, he was the chair of the Community Media Association. Here he is to pick up the story.
Earlier this year, when COVID-19 pandemic first started, we were very lucky as a local radio station to have some local funders on board, the Round Table and the Rotary, which is prominent around the world, but our local Rotary Club, come on board to supply some radios to the isolated and needy people. We found that there was a group of people who don't have a telly or may have dementia and not really focus on telly, but were without a radio. So they funded us to supply some radios across Basildon and East Thurrock, and listeners and people on our website nominated people, and we supplied those radios. What's been very touching across Basildon area is the pictures I've received of people getting over COVID and having their radio by the side of them. It's been really touching seeing some of the pictures and hearing some of the stories of a 92-year-old who was just getting over COVID and he's alone at night and at home, and suddenly he's got a companion in a radio. So that's the route that we took it down. I was very lucky after that for the Community Fund, which is part of the National Lottery, and also Tesco's coming on board to help me distribute more radios across certain parts of the UK. And so we had Tesco's Rotary Roundtable, we had private donations from the public and community voluntary services, and we had 20 community radio stations taking part in distributing radios. They all done their own thing and distributed the radios to the people that in need in their areas. But also Age UK took part in the project, hospital radios, care homes across the country, and we also had the Lions Club, we had the RAF, and also volunteers at community projects delivering the radios across the country. The project is coming to a close, but we may be extending it depending on what happens with the COVID. But the project is officially coming to a close the end of September, and we would have distributed over 10,000 radios across the UK. And I've had congratulations messages from my local MP, John Barron, and also the minister at the DCMS, John Whittindale, has sent me a personal email congratulating us on the success, and is going to be visiting Gateway in the near future, we hope before Christmas. So the project's been a massive success. It was something that started off very small in the local area, and we were very pleased to be able to help people in other parts of the country. And also I'm told there are some stations that have actually applied for their own funding and have actually been able to do more than what I've been giving them. So well done to everybody involved.
Congratulations indeed, and not least to Danny himself. What a cracking idea that is. And as he says, from small beginnings, it just goes to show how far things can go when they're needed. And of course, you've got the energy and drive to make them happen. Great that he and the team managed to pull that off, whilst of course focusing on that central challenge that many of us are facing of how you run a local radio station in unprecedented times of crisis where the funding sands are eternally shifting. I mentioned that Danny was the chair of the Community Media Association. He's now stepped down from that role and the baton passes to me. And I have to say, it is a finer baton for his 2 years in the role. And I'll have more to say about that and how we're going to take the Community Media Association forward in a future podcast. But whilst on the theme of stepping down and handing over batons, well, after 12 and a half years of managing Summer Valley FM, I stepped down from that role in August. I remain a director of the company and deeply involved, of course. But the radio station has a new manager, and since he works about 10 metres from where I make this podcast, I thought I would ask Richard Burgess to join me on the podcast to tell me how he got on with his first local radio day. Here's how the conversation went. Richard is the new manager for Summer Valley FM. Richard, you've had one local radio day. How did it go?
Well, thank you very much, first of all, for the opportunity to be the station manager for it, Dom. What a great day it was. 17 hours of live broadcasting that we put out from 7 o'clock in the morning until midnight. A lot of contributions from all our presenters over that period as well, and plenty of fresh content.
Coming into this position, what do you think about local radio in the Midsummer Norton, Radstock, North East Somerset area? And what kind of relevancy does it have to community life?
It is vital for our local community to keep them up to date on what's been going on. Subsequent to that, we've had issues with free school meals for children. We've been able to publicise where that availability is around the local area. We've pushed as well on other events which are going on. And I think people from time to time look for us as well to provide some support and guidance, for instance, when schools are closed.
And what feedback have you got? And I'm going to ask you this in the context of the fact that one of the reasons why you got the job is because you're from a commercial sales background. Are there any other kind of sales? Anyway, you are from a sales background, not necessarily radio sales, but selling has been your career for several decades. So you're here to generate perhaps untapped revenue sources through advertising, through sponsorship. But in that, you're, of course, engaging with all sorts of people in the community. And you must be getting some feedback about the radio station. What are you hearing?
Good things, generally speaking. One of the items that we covered was Vox Pops. So we actually went out and interviewed people in the high street. You had Jacob Rees-Mogg on. I had the local mayor on as well from Midsummer Norton. And we got some ideas from the local public about what they were looking for. In terms of listening to the radio station, they do indeed do that. So we're one of their three choices. What we'd like to be is their number one choice.
You've had a passion for radio all your life. You've just moved into the industry as a professional. Big question this, but where do you think local radio will be in 5 years' time?
That's a fascinating question, and one which I know you're identifying and working through yourself at the moment. I think our opportunity is absolutely enormous. We know the BBC unfortunately had to make redundancies across radio and other divisions. We've seen a lot of globalisation, if you like, on commercial radio as well. That leaves a hugely untapped market for local radio, and that's one we intend to explore.
Well, early days for you, and I look forward to having another chat with you here on the In Radio podcast about where Summer Valley FM is. Clearly, I have a massive emotional stake in this, having been in your position for the last 12 years, but great to have you on board.
Thank you, Dom.
Richard Burgess from Summer Valley FM talking to me there. And great to see local radio in my part of the world really firming up what it's offering as a local radio station. Now, one of the joys about making this podcast and indeed my various roles through the Community Media Association, the Radio Academy, Local Radio Alliance and all sorts of stuff, really, I get to travel around and visit local radio stations throughout the UK. And over the years, and if I include the local radio stations I've worked for, that amounts to over 100. I have to say, pretty well every station I visited, I see the value of as local broadcasters. I see the value of the impact on both audiences and participating individuals. But a few really do shine out to me. And one of those stations is Bolton FM, which I visited, I think, around about 3 years ago, but I've kept in touch with them. And they have been featured here on this podcast. So naturally, when someone posted this bit of audio I'm about to play on one of the groups for local and community-orientated radio, well, it pricked my attention. It's a promo for an interview, and I really liked it. Let's hear this Bolton FM promotion. And then I get to talk to the person behind the voice, who is Andrew Dixon, who's not only one of their presenters, but also chairs the organisation.
Imagine being the boss of Bolton, the chief executive of the council. Think of the scale and ambition of the job, and then think about how a year like 2020 could mess up all your plans.
This is the most difficult financial operating conditions I've ever worked in. It's the toughest time ever. It is a perfect storm.
He's the man in the big chair, juggling budgets and spending as coronavirus came out of nowhere. I'm Andrew Dixon, and in a two-part interview, Tony tells me the inside story of how Bolton's been affected by the health crisis.
Slowly but surely, we'll get a grip of this pandemic, but a big thanks to the people of Bolton, because they've been brilliant.
Bolton's chief executive, Tony Oakman, in conversation this Wednesday and Thursday from 11 on Bolton FM.
Andrew, that was a really powerful piece of audio, and it engaged me, and I felt I wanted to ask you a little bit more about how you're going about the business of community broadcasting under the pandemic.
Well, I only do one show a week at the moment, and they're always asking me to do more, but I'm not here to do that. I'm here to run a radio station, make sure we're viable. But I do love my radio. And the jobs that they give me is I've always got four or five interviews in every show. And the interviews that are really important at the moment are interviewing business leaders, the leader of the Chamber of Commerce, the leader of the council, the chief executive of the council, the people from the NHS Trust, and it needs somebody who understands all of that. And so I get all these really interesting interviews, and I have to do quite a lot of preparation work for that, and it's really good for me. I learn so much about what I'm going to talk about, and then I can hold a sensible conversation and ask the right questions. So I think that I've learned one thing, and that is that a good presenter, a good disc jockey, even if it's controversial ones, need to know what they're talking about, or they'll make themselves look foolish. And so it's that investigative work and then meeting these people and getting the respect that the radio has now got throughout of this pandemic. We have been more influential, more informative, asking the right questions, helping people than we've ever been. And that is resulting in a big respect from all these different parties, all these different partners in Bolton, that they respect us now for what we're doing. And that might be good in the long term, that they might think about supporting us with a bit of money. One of the things that we've just done recently is appoint somebody called John Ryan. And John Ryan ran Radio Manchester, and he started on the 1st of October. And it's him who has the interview I was doing anyway with the chief exec, but he's taken it and he's done that and he made that trailer. And it's that level of professionalism that we need at Bolton FM to move us to the next level. So I'm pretty excited about what, with the new aerial and the football commentary, with the Bolton Wanderers, and now he's stopping us from playing crap music and dodgy records. He's going to help turn the little things that you will know backwards, like talking to adverts but never out of them, play this but don't play that, don't do this, don't do that. Just little things that I'm thinking, that doesn't make much difference. But he's saying, if all of our volunteers and presenters do that, you will raise the level of the radio, the quality, and you will make people want to listen more to what we're doing and less switch off moments. And I think that's what we're aiming for, really.
Well, how fantastic was that? And, you know, I'm a firm believer that the radio presenter who has a love of learning and an inquisitiveness about the world around them is the better radio presenter for all that. Same with journalists, of course, and anybody in the business of communications. Well, now, there's plenty for us to unpick in there. Just two things he touched on, which we will elaborate more in a further broadcast, is how Bolton FM have managed to build its audiences, not only by getting a new transmitter out there so that more people can hear them, but they've done a deal with a football club, tying up local radio with your local team that everybody loves and supports. Yeah, good idea that. I can see that one really making a difference. But where Andrew went with his direction of thought then takes me to something that I allude to in my presentation to the Radio Academy Festival on the future of local radio, which is that the migration of skills honed in the professional sectors coming in to the big growth area of local radio in the UK, which is licensed community radio, is having a tremendous impact. And I think the whole pandemic has had an influence here of speeding up something that was already going on. It is one of my roles to chair the Audio and Radio Emergency Fund for COVID in the radio industry. And so I know firsthand how difficult it has been for people who earn their living in audio and radio when so many people had their work cancelled and there's been a lot of rationalising of who is contracted. The skills migration into the community sector has been going on for some time. And one of the impacts it's having is turning that sector and certainly practitioners within it into what you might call a more professional broadcast offer. I have no doubt that the future of local radio in the UK is in the community sector, or certainly community-orientated local broadcasting. And there we have it. As I come to the end of this podcast, I've introduced the topic of the next podcast, which is indeed the future of local radio. Meanwhile, to thank those who've helped me weave the story of Local Radio Responds Podcast 3 with our focus on Local Radio Day, my thanks to Maxine from the Local Radio Alliance, Mark from BBC Sussex and Surrey, Andrew at Bolton FM, Richard at Summer Valley FM, and of course, that omnipotent presence in the radio industry of David Lloyd. More from some of those voices in the next podcast. In the meantime, thanks for listening and do feedback to me your thoughts. That's it from the In Radio podcast. Catch you back here very soon. In Radio.